He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, July the 28th edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Which will it be today? So far it looks like the inverse funds are winning out, but we do have a loaded show today. Boy, a lot has transpired since we last spoke yesterday. And we'll get to that here in a bit, but right now a little bit of a rundown on where the markets are. After a huge day yesterday, the Dow right now is down 127 to 32,070. You know, that getting through that 32,000 level yesterday, however, for the Dow, was a trend change. You know, you went from a downtrend to a sideways trend to the beginning of an uptrend. And that's the same thing that happened in the S&P and the NASDAQ previous to that. The NASDAQ is down 100 today, but it was up 400 and some odd yesterday. The NASDAQ is at 11,932. And it is still in the midst of a trend reversal from a downtrend to a sideways trend to the one we want, an uptrend. Now, can it follow through? Can it last? Well, you can look at my article on Seeking Alpha. It's trending today. That's good. It's on the front page. I don't know. Yesterday it never did quite make it. But you can read my forecast going forward for the markets. The S&P's down 15 to 4,008. We haven't said 4,000 for a while on the S&P. Crude oil was up quite a bit. Now it's up just 36 cents to 97.62. The Russell 2000 small caps are flat. Gold is up $27 per ounce. Silver's up a dollar. Wow, that's a big move in silver. I guess you could say it's been oversold. The 10 years at 2.68. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. We've got both bases covered. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and we have a surprise guest today, all the way back from 2 weeks in Europe. We've got chartered financial analyst Barry Kite, and Barry, we're going to want to hear a little bit later in the show about your observations across the pond.
And I read your read your article on the plane yesterday on the way back. So thanks for getting that out.
yes, I got one out there. You know, it was about time. So, anyways, look, we had a huge day in the market yesterday. The Dow was up 436 yesterday. It popped the cork yesterday. S&P was up big yesterday also. And the NASDAQ was up 469 points yesterday. Okay, we're going to credit earnings from Microsoft and Google, two of your major players in the tech industry. They gave a big lift to the markets. The markets were already up a lot. And then Jerome Powell came along, and as expected, they raised rates by 75 basis points. But I think in the press conference afterwards, the market got even a little bit more of a lift because he did say they could back off going forward. They don't have to be as aggressive, but he definitely signaled another big rate hike. Now, having said that, the 10-year is at 2.64% this morning, some 2.68%. You'd think it would be higher. I can't quite understand, other than the market must think that they've kind of got inflation a bit under control, or at least it's getting to be, you know, harnessed and noosed and brought back into a more... you know, a range that's not so out of control. That's the only thing I can figure out. And, of course, you had those we've had earnings reports since then that are moving the market to the downside. So, okay, we'll begin with that. I would say the biggest news that we have is, you know, since we talked last was the Fed hike, 75 basis points. That's the second time in a row, and that brings the federal funds rates to 2.25 to 2.50. How come, Barry, in your opinion, why is there not more of a premium on the 10-year? Usually it trades way above the Fed rate, but not right now. It's almost in line with the Fed rates.
It seems a lot based on expectations. Of course, we got, you know, the negative GDP print this morning.
As we predicted.
Right. Yeah, and consensus was like, you know, up a half a percent. And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, why? Consensus, you know, of growth kind of seemed surprising to me. And so came in at minus 0.9%. And so I think that's another, you know, kind of go forward expectations in terms of, you know, how much do they think that the Fed can raise, at least for, you know, a length of time, right? Of course, they're affecting the short end of the curve, but it doesn't seem to be affecting the longer end of the curve, you know, much at all, really.
No, and in fact, it came down yesterday. Yeah. Okay, the 2-year today is at. Yeah, even the 2-year is down 9 basis points to 2.89, okay? So now the other big news, which Barry just mentioned, and we predicted would happen, and it did, U.S. GDP, okay, this is for the second quarter, which ended, 28 days ago now, it falls for a second quarter in a row. Down 0.9%. Okay, that's the first estimate, and they will adjust that, but I can't see it going positive. Now, Barry, CFA school, CFP school, economics classes, what is the definition of a recession?
Yeah, and it certainly varies, but I mean the kind of normal definition is two quarters in a row of negative GDP. I've heard recently, you know, folks trying to throw in, employment figures into that mix. Like I said, historically, rule of thumb, it's really just been those two quarters in a row of negative GDP, and that's where we sit. We had in the first quarter negative 1.6%, and then the first estimate here is negative 0.9% for this quarter. And it usually, as they revise these, I think they'll do it two more times. But they usually go in the direction that they start. So if you're negative, it's going to be more negative. If you're positive, for example, you usually get a little bit more positive bump as they keep counting all the money, I guess, if you will.
Okay, and the reason I brought that up is because we're seeing it redefined. They're kind of changing the dictionary here with look, we're going to turn the corner. It's going to be August here in 3 days. You're talking 3 months away from a midterm election, and our country is now currently in a recession. And historically, that has not been good for the incumbent party, the incumbent candidates. In fact, it's a very bad thing. Especially when you consider where we were at, not that long ago, our economy was really booming, and now we're in what is technically a recession. So you will see in the next few months all kinds of spin and the attempt at redefining
right.
What a recession really is. Now, in my opinion, the market has already priced in this recession 2 months or two quarters and thinks that we will come out of it. Now, let's see, the next GDP report, man, that will, well, it will be before the election. It will be around, 3 months from now. It would be the week before the election, pretty much. And it wouldn't surprise me to see a positive GDP, whatever they got to do to get that number turned around. Okay, Germany. Inflation squeaks past estimate. Germany came in at 7.5%. Now, You didn't get to Germany, or did you?
We didn't get to Germany. Talked to some German, some folks from Germany, but yeah, didn't make it quite that far.
Were you seeing inflation?
Europe? Yeah, and I mean, gas. You know, a tank of gas, if you convert it to gallons, right? It's probably about $8.50 a gallon. You do the math on that, right? Some of your normal goods kind of, you know, fairly well priced, dinners, that type of thing. But there's certainly signs of inflation in the housing market there as well. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, when we come back, we had some big earnings reports. This is earnings season. Yesterday we had a good day. Today, not so much. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Today it's the inverse funds that hold sway after a huge day in the market yesterday. And right now you've got the Dow down 166, NASDAQ down 112. Crude oil has now gone negative. It was positive. It's down just 16 cents, however. Okay, the big earnings report from last night for me was Facebook, which is now known as Meta. And Meta has not done well at all recently. Just horrible, horrible. The stock has done horribly. The earnings have done poorly. Meta misses on earnings. Revenue dips 0.9%. They only did $28 billion in revenue, okay? But that's not up to snuff, not up to par. The market didn't like it. Meta is one of the reasons why the market is down today. Not a good report at all. Analysts fret over ongoing challenges at Meta. Despite the fact that 2.8 billion people are on that site on a daily, that's their daily average, 2.8 billion, you know, about 30% of the world is on the site. If you can't make money from that, if you can't grow earnings from that, I don't know what you can. I mean, that is the site. If you're going to advertise, it has to be Google and it has to be a Facebook pretty much. So that didn't really excite the market all that much. Let's just see how Meta is doing here.
Yeah, the dip in revenue was pretty concerning. That's for spending, you know, marketing standpoint. Other businesses, advertising less. You know, so it'll be it's an indicator of kind of the overall health of the of the economy, or at least expectations of businesses, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, advertising definitely ebbs and flows. It's a very cyclical business. It ebbs and flows with the economy. Google, on the one hand, had a good report. Snap had a horrible report.
Yeah.
And Meta had a horrible report. Meta is down 7.6% right now. That's a big drop. It's down 13 points. And, of course, Zuckerberg is trying to convert Facebook into the metaverse and bring it into the metaverse. And I don't know. They don't seem to be on the right track, that's for sure. We have no positions in the stock. We liked it at one time. It was a great growth engine. It was a must if you were an advertiser to reach a big audience, but I don't know. There's something going wrong there with execution, something, not emphasizing the right areas. I don't know.
That's what it, yeah.
Apple
you
tonight.
Execution
okay.
risk.
Yeah, I mean, Zuckerberg seems to be, off in the metaverse somewhere relates to how he's running the company. And, you know, the chart of the stock does not look good either. It's just been in a downtrend. It has not reversed, along with most of the rest of the NASDAQ. In fact, it's breaking down today to a new low. This stock was 352. Now it's 156. That's more than a 50% drop. It's lost more than half. It might have got to a trillion. Now it's down around $423 billion. That's still a lot, but that's a huge drop in value. And you're hitting a new 52-week low here today on Meta. Okay, so now tonight the big ones. And Apple's always probably, these days, the biggest report out there. All eyes on Apple after the close today. And also Amazon, which, you know, I don't expect much from Amazon. I would think it would, just judging by what Walmart's experience
exactly.
has been.
Yep. That's my thought.
Amazon's got to be getting squeezed on the shipping cost. A lot of different factors there. And I know Amazon's reported some pretty lousy reports here. Their last report, their sales were only up 7% last quarter, and their earnings, they had a loss of 38 cents, the first loss in a long, long time. But they've got that, you know, Amazon Web Services that's kind of their cash cow. But we'll see where Amazon reports tonight. Then there was one other one tonight. Intel. Intel reports tonight. So those are the big ones that will move the market. Okay, let's see what else we have. Monkeypox cases surpassed 19,000 worldwide. That's not very many, really.
Not worldwide.
You know, they are declaring
a
global emergency, but, you know, 19,000, that's not very many people. Okay, the big surprise, I mean, in the political arena, but it also has a lot to do with the market. Joe Manchin flipped yesterday. He has been staunchly against any more spending and any tax hikes. And it was reported after hours, after the market closed, that Joe Manchin reached an agreement with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to vote on a package aimed at supporting alternative energy and lowering health care costs. But more than likely raising taxes and creating a minimum 15% corporate tax. But if I remember right, they still have to get Sinema from Arizona. I haven't heard from her lately, but Manchin was the big one that you heard about mostly, the West Virginia senator.
Yeah, no salt in there.
He did flip, and that's no.
Yeah.
How they got him to flip? That's another, we don't know, okay? Something made him completely turn 180 degrees, all right?
Well, that's the important.
The solar stocks are doing well.
Yeah, I think that's the important of the midterms.
What's that?
Too, right? Well, that's the important of the midterms because
maybe.
You've got, you know, it'll at least, you know, if you have Republicans taking, you know, either the House, the Senate, or both, then you do have that real gridlock. We've kind of been, you know, used to gridlock because Manchin's been there, but in reality, right, it lets you know that it's a very thin gridlock situation. So anything can, you know, get pushed through. So you want to, you know, having that extra backstop, I think the market would like to see that.
Yeah, well, okay, 3 months before the election, you know, he flips and says, let's get something done. And you're seeing the solar, it was up a lot more. It had a huge day yesterday, the solar stocks. Enphase's earnings were just off the charts. We do own Enphase. Enphase did very well for us yesterday. And the solar ETF, TAN, is up 4.7% today when the rest of the market is down. So that's where the action is today. All right, when we come back, there's still a lot. Man, there is a lot that's happened since yesterday's show. Some good, some bad, mostly good. This is Bill Gutterson, Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. It is the Inverse Funds holding sway here today after, mostly Facebook's earnings. That seemed to be the bad news. Well, and the 2 quarters in a row of negative GDP, which we expected. That shows that America entered into a recession sometime in late, probably December or so, or early January. And then, I don't think the high gas prices helped at all. And then we've had a second quarter now confirmed with today's report of minus 0.9%. So we have the textbook definition of 2 straight quarters of negative growth in the books. And America has been in a recession for the last couple of weeks or month or whenever it started. And will it continue? Can we get out of this recession before the big election the first Tuesday of November? All right, now there is a lot more news here, and I want to get Barry's opinion on one thing here in a minute. The Senate did pass the CHIPS Act. That sends the bill to the House of Representatives. They more than likely will okay it, and it does impact mostly the chip making companies. Now, we did have a chip stock that reported earnings last night, Qualcomm, and Qualcomm missed their estimates, guided lower. Qualcomm's down 6.4% between that and Facebook. It's like I said, yesterday in my final message, I said, wow, the Nasdaq's had a really good day today. The trend is reversed. But let's not forget, we still have a lot of earnings to come in. We're going to have some choppy action, seesaw action going here. But you do have a trend reversal on the Nasdaq, which began, probably a couple weeks ago. So that CHIPS Act, that would give $52 billion in subsidies for domestic production. That would help companies like Intel, I think, and Applied Materials that actually build chips. Because right now we're very much dependent upon Taiwan and China for the making, South Korea also for the making of the chips. We mostly have fabless chip companies here in America who design chips only and don't make them. Okay, now, here is this, you've had this backlash in Holland. You got to Holland, right?
Yeah, we flew out of Amsterdam, and I will say, in terms of all the airports we were in, that one is probably the biggest disaster.
Really?
As a country, engineering's great, right? Everything's very well engineered, except when you got to the, they've had some strikes, and they had some baggage. The carousels went out, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, and so literally no luggage left the airport for basically a day and a half. And so there were suitcases stacked to the ceiling. I'll have to send you a picture on it. But
that's interesting.
But they're like, you got to get there 4 hours early, and I can't get to an airport 4 hours early. I'm doing my best just to get there on time. We got there 2.5 hours early. They, moved us around the airport faster, put us in a couple of priority lines, and we made it on the plane. We were the last ones on the plane right before they shut the door. But it's a logistics nightmare over there at this particular point. Of course, they had the farmer strikes.
That's what I want to ask, because now it's moving to Canada. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau proposal to cut fertilizer emissions by 30%. Well, okay, just do the math. You're probably decreasing the yield of the crop.
Right. Exactly.
By somewhere in that same range of the government's goal to reach net. I would just say, let's cut other areas. Let's leave the farmland alone. That's what we live off of,
we need
okay?
That. Right,
This is causing intense backlash. His goal is to reach zero net emissions by 2030. But at what cost? What cost to the people? What cost? We'll find out, I guess. It's causing intense backlash from the farmers. And, of course, this was going on in Holland. Did you see any of that when you were there? I suppose that's in the backcountry.
Yeah, so they had a couple of, you know, kind of like semi-type, kind of similar to the trucker strike in Canada, where they were using, you know, vehicles to block roads. A little bit of that had dissipated since we had gotten there, but it was still on folks' minds. You could see that they were, you know, they were more concerned about that. I'll tell you one interesting thing is in Italy, of course, their government essentially was being dissolved right at the time
dissolved,
we were there.
Yeah.
They don't. No one acts like they care. Like it was. I probably heard the least political talk.
Yeah,
in Italy,
they have a lot of changes
like,
in Italy.
Yes, right.
Club Med, right?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So, like, of the one place that you would think, right, that the most political turmoil, probably heard zero about politics.
Yeah.
There,
well,
so.
They're hearing a lot about Trudeau right now. Not happy up there. The farmers. It will threaten food supplies, it will raise prices, and cost farmers billions in lost revenues. But here's the concern that I have. This is going from country to country. Okay. The world food supply is at risk here. Production losses could be significant, according to an analysis by Fertilizer Canada, which said Canada could lose more than 160 million metric tons of canola, corn and spring wheat during the 22 to 23 through 30 time period, 7 years, from the Trudeau plan, which is not good. That's that's what we eat, okay? Agricultural emissions have also soared, okay? Fertilizers helped, but the additional fertilizers helped raise the spring wheat yields, canola yields, over the last decades compared to the 1990s. So there you go. Which is the next? Well, it's happening all over Europe. Will the EU gas reduction plan, okay, was there any rationing while you were there? Because now EU is going to go to rationing of energy.
Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, I didn't feel any of that. I think that to me the rationing is the fact that it's, you know, $8.50 for a gallon of gas.
That'll cause rationing.
That'll cause
the rich can afford
rationing.
It.
Right. And so that was, you know, probably the biggest eye-opener, because I'm, you know, riding down the road doing conversion math, right, trying to figure out how many liters
wow.
are in a gallon, how, you know, what it is per gallon.
Yes, we do that in Mexico.
Yeah, over $8.50 for diesel. I'm like, you know, they, of course, they use a lot more diesel there for all, you know, majority of their cars, at least for a long time. But
well, the Nord Stream pipeline is now pumping at only 20% of capacity well, the Dutch natural gas futures went up 12% on Wednesday. They're hitting new all-time highs as they try to fill up their storage tanks ahead of winter. They don't have much to store. And, of course, Moscow's playing games. They're saying, oh, it's technical difficulties. That's not true. I mean, they're playing games with it. And they don't care if some people freeze in Europe over the winter at all. So there's the big problem there. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse in Europe. And let's see. Here's a story I'm all for. House Democrats to propose a ban on lawmaker stock trading. They shouldn't be allowed. You know, when they heard about COVID before us, they, a bunch of them went and sold all their stocks. You've got Pelosi's husband buying all those semiconductor stocks when he heard about the chip bill. That's insider trading. I'm sorry. I don't care who it is. The Republicans are just as guilty as the Democrats. The guy from Georgia, the senator from Georgia, who lost, he was doing the same thing. Then he lost running for governor. So they have inside information. And they should not be allowed. They just, you know, put it in a blind trust or whatever. Put it in the S&P 500, and you can't move it. Ford reported. Ford was a good report. All right? Ford was on the good side yesterday. Ford is up 2% right now. Not real exciting. Ford has lost half of its value since the beginning of the year, down about 50% year to date. I haven't seen an electric car coming off of the Ford line yet. Maybe you have where you live. The only electric vehicle I see in the Charleston area are Teslas. I don't see anything else. obviously, the field is white and ready to harvest, but it ain't happening yet. And Ford, you would think GM and Ford would be way ahead of Tesla, but as usual, they're way behind. Okay, when we come back, there are some things popping here today. It might be inverse funds. We'll find out. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Oil has gone negative since the beginning of the show. Up a couple bucks a barrel this morning. It's now down 46 cents per barrel. The NASDAQ has come back quite a bit. It's only down 65 right now. And I showed the Dow down just 13 right now. So it does look like there's a comeback in place. And as I said, you know, if you're not following along in the newsletter, I started talking about a bottom in the market a few weeks back. And then I started talking about a trend reversal in the market. And so far, that's been very good analysis because we had a massive day yesterday and follow through to those trend reversals in the NASDAQ and the S&P. And I've also been saying that it's only a matter of time before the Dow joins in on this trend reversal. It did that yesterday very clearly in the chart, which I'll be showing in my newsletter. Now, the most important part of the newsletter this week, boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be critical. These earnings estimates, how much have they moved one way or another? The estimates for this year for the S&P 500 and the estimates for next year, because that to me is the variable that remains. I think that the multiple is probably pretty much fixed where it's at right now. Maybe could go a little bit higher from here because you do have interest rates staying down pretty low. So that means that the real variable in the equation is the earnings. And I was pretty cautious, a little bit on the pessimistic side coming into this earnings season. But by tomorrow, when I see the numbers and do the math and everything and do the new you know, calculations, we'll see where this year and next year estimates are, and that's going to really be a major factor in determining where the market goes from here, how high it can go, how low it can go. So if you want to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. That's in my macro outlook section of the newsletter every single week, the macro outlook section of the newsletter. Okay, there's a few popping here today that have caught my eye, and I just remembered, this is another stock that's going to report after the close tonight. First Solar, FSLR, all the solar stocks are up today for the most part. We do own in our Best Funds Now portfolio, which is only ETFs, we own TAN, which is the solar ETF. Man, has it had a big week. Wow. Well, Fuji Solar, which is headquartered in the Phoenix area where they have plenty of sun. Actually, it's in Tempe, Arizona. First Solar is up 15.6% on 12 times normal volume. And I would say this is coming from the Joe Manchin news that he flipped. From no way, Jose. He was not going to go for any more spending or tax, especially tax hikes. We'll see what Sinema does because she was vehemently against any tax hike of any form. I think they need her. They got Manchin, and that's really sending the alternative energy stocks, the renewables, higher today. Plug power is way up. Enphase is way up again on top of what they did yesterday after their earnings report. Blink Charging, I'm looking at that thing here today. Blink is way up today. It's up 11%. Solid chart on Blink, BLNK. Which, you know, I got to believe that in that plan somewhere there's going to be a big build-out of the electric vehicle network, which doesn't exist right now. There's another question for Barry. Did you see any indications of a more robust EV charging network than we have here in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. It's very similar to here. Of course, there were some spots where you could actually park on the side of the road and charge. But you know, kind of like you said, I mean, primarily, you know, most of the ones that I saw in terms of electric vehicles, certainly Tesla, huge presence. You know, a few, you know, Toyota Priuses, you know, those types of things. But yeah, I mean, not a real. You know, when I think of it, I think of like an entire, you know, gas station, right? That's nothing but high-speed chargers, and you know, that doesn't mean they don't exist. But I didn't see any. put it that way.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's just my experience. We're way behind the curve. If we want to go electric with our cars, we're way behind the curve on having the infrastructure. You got to have infrastructure. Well, you know, a lot of times they build.
The other thing is they got to charge it. I mean, they're having trouble making electricity, right? And energy.
Exactly.
In general. It doesn't matter if you put it in your gas tank or if you plug it in. Either way, they have an issue. So.
Yes, and never mind that most of their energy right now comes from coal-fired plants that charges the electric cars.
Right.
Well, okay, but Blink Charging having a good day. The other one would be what ChargePoint, CHPT. I look at these companies as low-margin businesses, but at the same time, they're going to get some action here, I think, with this. We don't know any details. We don't know how much scaled down. It was $3 trillion at one point in time, and if you carried it out over the years, it was $6 trillion. I don't know where it's at now, but a big chunk of it's going to go to renewable energy. And so ChargePoint is charged up. It's up 14% today. Plug Power, which is green hydrogen energy, it's up 22% today. Plug Power. Well, what they're all hoping for is government money, subsidies. That's why they're all excited today. It's hard for them to really make it on their own without the subsidies. That's been the story of solar for a long time. There's still a huge subsidy here in South Carolina. If you put solar, you're going to get a big chunk back from the state of South Carolina, and you're going to get a big chunk on your federal income taxes, about $15,000, $7,500 from the state, $7,500 from the federal government. That's where it maxes out. So Plug is way up today. Solar Edge, SEDG. It's not as up as much as it was. It's only up 4% today. Let's just check in on Enphase. Enphase had a huge day yesterday. While you were flying home, that thing was flying high. We're out of time. Wow. Anyways, those are the ones jumping off the page today. Okay, Barry's back. Set up an appointment with him. He's rested, ready to go. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Get tomorrow's newsletter. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.